Hi, this is Mr. Hack of iSciFi TV, and you are listening to an original broadcast with our special guest, Michael Wanamaker, who is the composer of the upcoming movie Punisher Warzone, to be released December 5th, 2008, worldwide, and also My Bloody Valentine 3D, to be released January 2009. This broadcast is property of iSciFi.tv. Distributed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike license. For more licensing information, please visit creativecommons.org or visit us directly at www.iscifi.tv.
Hi, this is Michael Wanamaker. I'm the composer on Punisher Warzone and My Bloody Valentine 3D, and you're listening to iSciFi.
Michael, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Great.
How's L.A. treating you?
Very well. The fires were a little wacky earlier, but the air seems to have cleared up, and people seem to recover well from those things. It wasn't cool while it was happening, but it's nice that things have calmed down. But the weather's been a little weird. It's a lot warmer out here than it normally is.
Yeah, I'm actually up in Utah, and it was 55 a couple of days ago, and then it goes down to 28, so I'm used to that.
Sounds like Minnesota, where I grew up. You can go from 70 one day and one week, at this time of year especially, you can go from 70 on Monday to snow on Thursday, you know, but you get used to it.
Yeah, how does a composer from Milwaukee end up getting into mainstream Hollywood composing things like The Punisher?
It's a long story. It's actually Minneapolis, not Milwaukee, but it's kind of a long and convoluted story, but at the time, about 15 years ago now, I was working at some advertising agencies in Minneapolis, and during that time I was moonlighting, also working at a commercial house, doing commercials, and that eventually became a full-time job. And when it became a full-time job, I started working on some bigger budget commercials and short films and independent films that were being produced in that area. And during that time, I met some people in Los Angeles through some mutual friends and traveled back and forth to witness some scoring sessions, some big ones at that time that composer Alan Silvestri invited me out there to take in this whole ordeal of recording a big score. And through the process of doing that, he introduced me to a lot of people. I handed out my music there and developed a relationship with an editor, post-production guru over at Miramax and Dimension at the time, and started working on some Jackie Chan re-releases they were doing direct-to-video.
Right, and like the Drunken Fist 2?
Yeah, that one came later. The first one I did was Operation Condor 2, Armor of God, and after that, Twin Dragons was coming out in theaters, and they told me, "We'd love to have you work on that movie, but you have to move to Los Angeles if you want to work on it." So I figured at that point it was now or never, and that was almost 10 years ago to the day now. It'll be, I think, December 19th will be 10 years, and I've been working here ever since. It's kind of serendipitous.
And time flies and catches up so fast with us. This is amazing. Now, you have an influence in karate, too, from what I understand. Is that right?
Yeah.
You hold a black belt. Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you still practice the discipline while you also work on composing music?
No, it's actually been a while since I've done it regularly. Back in 1991 or 92, like, I can't remember exactly which year it was. It was a while ago, but I hurt my back pretty badly. And it kind of took me out of the loop of doing that for a while. And a lot of the problems that had arisen in my back, the things that set up my back for this injury, were caused from years of doing that. Because I was mainly involved in a style that was very aerial, where I was doing a lot of spinning and jumping and stuff that was torquing my back quite a bit. So I haven't been involved in that directly since that time. I still do a lot of the stretching and kind of warm-up exercises and the mental part of it, but the physical part of it, I don't think I could still do without injuring myself again. But I'm still interested in it.
That's pretty cool, though, so.
Yeah.
You know, I've noticed that you have done some movies from, like, Max Keeble's big movie back in 2001, which is a Disney movie, and then
right.
You're doing My Bloody Valentine being released in January, so you're not stuck in one genre of music. You seem very diverse. Is that something that you wanted to do, or do you like sticking to something that's a little more hard edge?
I think, yeah. At the time, when I was just getting into doing feature films on a regular basis, around the time that Max Keeble was happening, I was more focused on working in comedy and kind of animation, things that were more action-adventure, but with kind of a friendlier bent. And I wanted to move more into doing harder genre material, more straight action films, horror, fantasy type things that were all had kind of a darker spin on them, because that's what I kind of grew up with. That's what I grew up really enjoying. That's where kind of all my love for film and film music came from. But from my work in commercials and what I had been doing in Minneapolis, I actually had stronger chops at the time for doing that style of music. And it's also the thing where when you're starting out, too, you take what comes along. And since more of my resume at that time and more of what I had to present to people was within the realm of those scores, that's the type of work I was getting. And as I formed relationships with people at various studios over time, I was able to convince them that I wanted to do something else. Because it is true that a lot of people in this industry get pigeonholed very, very quickly.
Right.
And so far, I've been able to evade that, but I kind of find that I like working in genre film. I enjoy it. It's very labor intensive because the scores are always really long compared to comedies or dramas. But you know that going in. I like the material. So,
how much different is it composing for video games as opposed to a movie? Because I would think of a video game seems like it's a more of a work in progress, where a movie, you do have the script, you do have the producer, the production company, and so forth.
Right. Video games is more, you have to take a different approach in terms of, you have to make sure that the music isn't going to bore people while they're playing the game. There's a whole mechanics aspect to it that's different from a film or a television show, where you're playing through something once, the people are watching once, whereas in the video game world, you have someone who may be listening to a particular piece of music or a particular loop of music over and over and over and over, so the music can't bore people when they're listening to it, and at the same time, it can't drive them nuts. So you're
right.
you're always walking this kind of fine line between, is this catchy enough, or do I need to back off a bit so that someone playing doesn't think they're hearing that melody come around again and they're dying to shut off the music and they can't?
I've been there. I love video games. I love movies, and I absolutely hate the repetitive nature that they stick in some of these games. It's like, you know when the bad guy's coming because the music starts.
Right. And part of that is driven by the actual hardware, the consoles themselves,
right,
in terms of how much media they can store in their RAM and how much media can actually exist on the disc that the game is on. And it forces the game developers to keep the music within a certain set of constraints, at least during gameplay. I mean, the cutscenes are scored just like a television show or a movie. You see them from beginning to end. It's a single thought. It's part of a story arc through the game. So those play more as traditional score. But when you're in the context of the game, if it's not a role-playing game that's really immersive, like Warcraft or something like that, you have to be very cognizant of music not becoming detrimental to the game as opposed to beneficial. It's just a slightly different mindset. But
do you play, too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. By the time I finish any game, I'm definitely an expert at that game, but I still keep up on regular games. I've got Fallout 3 sitting here and Far Cry 2, and I want to get Dead Space and work my way through that. But, yeah, I try to keep up with it.
You know, I've said this more than once, that music makes the movie or music makes the game. Because if you can get my hair to stand up during a horror movie, you've done your job.
Right on.
I absolutely love it.
Totally agree.
What I've heard from the Punisher has only been in the previews, but you use all sorts of different instruments. Do you play the instruments, or did you sit down with an orchestra?
For Punisher, we did In My Bloody Valentine. We were two very different scores, but they both contain... Punisher is more what you would call a traditional kind of symphonic, thematic score. It's very theme-driven. The bulk of the music is played by an orchestra, and it's all augmented with electronics and rhythmic things that are programmed. But it's definitely driven by the orchestra and a really specific set of themes. My Bloody Valentine is more of an aggressive, atonal, loud, scary...
Oh, very score. Edgy. Very edgy, yeah.
Yes. The movie's a lot of fun, and it's got, you know, it accelerates from beginning to end. It's a roller coaster ride of a movie, and the music rolls right along with it, and it once it starts, it never really stops. But I used a lot more just kind of dissonant, loud, edgy, harsh music to highlight the scares, and even the theme in the movie for the main character, it sounds more like a Nine Inch Nails song than it does traditional film score. So it was a slightly different approach, but there's still a lot of orchestral elements in the score.
See, and you're the composer, and I actually said that to one of my coworkers today, that the music from My Bloody Valentine has kind of a Trent Reznor, Nine Inch Nails feel to it. Just hard edge, very loud, and very surprising where you change melodies and beats to drive the film.
Right.
I'm kind of jealous of composers like yourself that you get to sit down and see a movie before it's done, because you kind of drive the plot with music.
Yeah, it's a process, especially movie making nowadays, where everything is done in a digital realm. The movie is constantly in flux, so you never really see a finished version of it until the final mix of the film, because visual effects and all the other aspects, the dialogue looping, the picture editing, the color timing, everything is being done in parallel with the music. And it used to be a very serial process, and now everybody's running in tandem because you can all work on, you know, digital copies of the same stuff, and the workflow is much faster. So it's fun to see it evolve. The only downside of that is you may write a very big cue for a very big action scene, something that can stretch out over somewhere between 3 and 6 minutes, and you're trying to hit lots of different beats in the scene, and then 3 days later it all changes. Now, that didn't happen a lot on My Bloody Valentine because the director is also a very experienced editor, and he's extremely savvy with music. So when I finally did get a cut, it was close to being finished. But on other films I've done, it went through, I would get something that I would start on Monday and then get another version of it on Friday that's been radically changed.
Right.
And you kind of have to go back to the drawing board. But that's the nature of the beast. You just roll with it.
Right. And it's a beast you obviously love because you're very good at it. And you're young. You're a little bit younger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had a very successful career so far, and it's going to be probably a wild ride from here on out, too.
Yeah, I hope so. I have had success, especially for someone who's come from another city and didn't go the more usual route of going to UCLA or USC and graduating and starting right into the business as an apprentice to somebody or an assistant and kind of working your way up. I just kind of showed up and already had a job in hand, and there's been a lot of ups and downs along that timeline. You know, when I first got here, everything was rolling along, and then there was a dry spell, and then everything was rolling, and there was a dry spell. There's a lot of stops and starts, but it's been in the last 2 years or so that the work has stabilized and has become pretty steady. And the jobs are getting to the point where they have a lot more profile, which is great. And I just have a better grip on how to do my job.
Right.
And you learn that over time not just the writing music part, but all the other things that go along with it, just the management of the process and how to break it down so that it gets done well and gets done on time, and you work well with a team. And there's lots of other things outside of the composition itself that you basically learn just by doing it, and it's really paying off now. I mean, the last two movies, these two movies, Punisher and My Bloody Valentine, have just been a blast.
Mm-hmm.
They were both really, they went by really fast. They're on really short schedules, but I've never had more fun. It's been wonderful. I don't know how else to say it.
I can't wait to hear it, actually. That's, you know, a preview doesn't do justice in 20 seconds.
Right. I think that the score albums, I know, are coming out, but I'm not sure what days yet. I turned in a score master for Punisher in this last week, and I've got to put one together for My Bloody Valentine, but Lionsgate hasn't given me any dates yet about releases on iTunes. It's going to happen.
If my information is correct, Punisher official release in North America is December the 5th.
Yeah, right.
Like I said, I can't wait to hear the My Bloody Valentine. I like the hard, edgy, rock in your face music and the electronic stuff as well.
Right, right.
Which I guess my final question is, do you actually play an instrument?
Oh yeah, I've been playing guitar for almost 30 years, and I'm a competent keyboard player. I know enough to get by. It's not like I could sit down at a party and just start winging out tunes for everybody, but I know enough to get through a day of work, and I play a lot of odd percussion instruments that I've learned along the way, and a lot of other string instruments. I play mandolin and a Cuban guitar called a trace, and another Puerto Rican guitar called a cuatro, and there's some other various instruments, and I'm getting a hurdy-gurdy because I want to learn how to play that.
Yep, someone's Nokia phone keeps going off. That's not mine.
Yeah, it sounds like an iPhone.
Is that yours?
No, I don't know what it is. There's no phone even close to me right now.
Okay, maybe my headset's picking up my neighbor's iPhone or something. That's weird.
Yeah, I'm just sitting in a studio by myself right now.
I'm in my living room. My little show that has a fan base all over the world is actually broadcast from my house.
Awesome. That's the joy of modern technology.
I absolutely love it, and I hate it sometimes. I didn't say that.
No, it's changed definitely, and from my perspective, it's changed the way I work very, very much, the use of the internet and being able to compress and decompress files. Everybody shares files on secure FTPs, and there's very little use of couriers and FedEx and things like that that used to be a staple of everyday work. And it's actually made everything a lot more efficient in terms of meeting deadlines, because you don't have to account for the travel time of what you're doing. You just finish what you're doing, you compress it, you upload it, and you move on to the next thing. But it's really changed the work for the better. You can devote all of your time to the job at hand instead of having to work around, you know, delivery places, schedules, or having to buy extra days just to move stuff around.
Right.
But I'm all for it.
Technology's awesome. And
it is.
Unfortunately, there's people that have no talent that are out there that are playing music, that have expensive gear, and other people that have a discipline and a likeness about them. Like, you've got it made, buddy. It's awesome.
Oh, well, thanks. I appreciate it.
I appreciate your time tonight, too.
Sure.
And I'm glad everybody's safe in L.A., and let's get those fires out, right?
Yeah. It was a little touch and go there last week, but I think everything's under control now, and you find that people out here are real resilient about that kind of stuff. I think people know when they live out here that, especially in the areas that fires are common, they know going in that there's a possibility of that happening, and they're usually fairly prepared for that sort of thing. So I wouldn't live anywhere else now. I really like it here. I miss Minnesota, but I really do like it here. You get used to the weather really quick. But the traffic stinks.
Amen, brother. Yep. I'm from Whittier, but I've been in Utah for 25 years. So.
Right.
Awesome. I appreciate your time.
And oh, no problem.
You have a good night, sir.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to iSciFi.tv. www.iSciFi.tv.
I'll be back.
Shut up!
Silence, you ninny!